It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This wonderful music was created by our son, Douglas Pinsky. And
you can find his music on drdrew.com. You can actually have podcast music made via Douglas Pinsky by going to drdrew.com. And I think it's called musicforpod.com.
Okay. And here's an example of it.
It's fucking Swole Patrol. It's the Swole Patrol. We're a patrol and we're swole. And we're super buff. Mark Bell is our guest. And he's super Jackie bench presses more than you, I can guarantee. He founded the slingshot and the super training gym up north. And he's really buff. And I bet he has teeny balls but a giant penis, because he is huge and he's veiny. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. That, everyone. Does it get better every time?
No.
That ending is good. Do you end with a yeah?
Yeah.
Like that all the time? That's kind of your deal.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's so marvelous.
That was
fantastic.
Unfortunately, it leaves us with nothing to talk about. You covered it all.
Mark Bell is our guest. Earlier in the Swole Patrol timeline, we had your brother Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pleasure to have you. There's plenty to talk about with you.
There's lots. I don't even know where to start.
First thing we did was start eating sausage and steak together.
You too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He took the whole sausage.
He's in the carnivore zone.
Oh, no. He is the general in the war on fat. Or excuse me, the war on carbs.
War on carbs. That's
well,
right.
And we both looked at each other. General. He said something that jumped out at me. He goes, it's weird. It's weird how well it works. I go, I know. I don't get it. It's bizarre. If I had talked to me today, I wouldn't believe what I would tell myself.
Okay. And we're talking about drastically reducing carbohydrate intake, upping the dietary fat. The carnivore diet, ketogenic diet, in this world.
Yeah.
I suspect certain things as to why it works so well. And Drew,
for the
please,
two of us?
For humans, correct me if I say anything that sounds to your scientific mind like bullshit.
No, go.
I think more so than there's some secret to it, I think it is an incredibly great way to control bad habits. It's incredibly satiating. It gives you a very simple kind of rubric to follow.
However, I agree with all of that, which makes it nice.
Yeah.
But the actual calories being consumed are pretty intense.
You think that though? Is it?
No,
do you think you're hypocaloric?
Hypercaloric.
You do. Okay.
I do. I think certainly more than my natural intake would be.
All right.
By a large margin. And what I have found is, rather than having to out loosen my belt if I overeat, I just lift more weights.
Yeah.
Which is insane. That's insane.
Yeah, we'll talk about lifting more weights. You're sitting next to a guy who, outside of maybe Louis Simmons, who we've talked about earlier, is the guy to go to, Dr. Drew.
I see this.
And I'm very excited about what we're going to do after this podcast is we're going to walk downstairs, and I'm going to have Mark
what's
Bell.
What's downstairs?
Well, I have that's, a gym.
That's Drew's swole compound.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want you to instruct swole Drew.
We need a big sign over this. This is swole compound.
I'm down with that.
I want you to instruct Drew. Because
forget the drapes. I want the
recently, big swole compound. He's recently gotten into, after years of me trying to push him to do it, he's very recently gotten into squatting and deadlifting.
That's
so
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basic movements.
Well,
yeah.
No, because I have a tender back and I was nervous to do it, and I never was. It's not a good movement for me. It's never been a strong movement for me, but I thought, all right, I'm just going to push it, and the deadlift has been an important feature of
I'll say this, I've said it again, I've said it time and time again, people's backs don't hurt from deadlifting. They hurt because they're a pussy. You need to deadlift. You have to strengthen your lower back, and you might not have to deadlift with a traditional barbell, but you got to figure out some way to stimulate the spine. You got to figure out some way
some
to train
now,
train a lower back. So you can use a hex bar, or you can deadlift in some different ways.
Let me say though, not from the deadlifts. I think I'm doing really good form, and I think I don't feel anything other than lightheaded after I do a heavy one.
Yeah,
but I have back pain at night lately. Pushing the weight on the squats.
You're saying you need a massage?
No, I'm saying maybe need some instruction.
He needs an internal massage of the third lumbar with fat and meaty dick.
I think sometimes what happens.
Right, we are officially going to have no female listeners. Officially, Mike. Well done. No female.
They might like
listening
to the
Hopefully, we'll make up for it with gay male listeners. That's my goal.
Girls might eavesdrop in like they're listening to some locker room talk.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Drew. Right? How many times has your wife said? You look over her and you go, that's it. Mike's crossed the line, right? She goes, no, that was fantastic. I think that was quite funny. So thank you.
All right.
I'll answer for her.
Then what do I say? Don't laugh.
Let's talk serious business. We can't waste our entire time just bullshitting around.
I want to add one more thing to the lower back thing. So
please.
A lot of times we get excited about a diet. We get excited about training. And we just dive right in and we do a little too much. So.
Yep.
You know, you might start squatting and deadlifting, and you're forgetting the fact that you have never squatted and deadlifted before. Right. And all of a sudden, you're doing 10 sets of 10 or 5 sets of 8 or some huge amount of volume. It's like you could probably do one set and be fine.
Yeah.
You probably push yourself to a pretty hard limit on a scale of 1 to 10, push yourself to a 6 or a 7. If that's the first time you ever did it, consider that a victory and move on to some other exercises. Get in and out of those exercises quickly. The longer time that you spend on them, the more damaging they're going to be.
My back pain came after I was pushing the weight.
Yeah.
I've been at it for a while.
And we see the same thing in diet. Yeah. You know, I've been preaching a ketogenic diet. I've been on a ketogenic style diet on and off since the mid-90s. I wrote a book recently called The War on Carbs. And when I tell people to get on this diet, I tell them every single time, don't start in a caloric deficit. Don't try to eat less. Yeah. Don't try to use intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting is great, and so is a ketogenic diet, but you don't need to start that way.
Right.
That's way too extreme to start out of the gate.
Too much, too soon.
Well, no, I had this feeling that that's exactly what my experience was when I was really eating a lot at the beginning. And I thought, I kind of dial it down now. I can start to control the calories a little better.
Key words, control.
Weeks.
He said control. Now you're saying control. That's 100% what the issue is with dieting.
Where did the war on carbs start? I mean, I would imagine because you're a high-level power lifter or at times had been, I mean, world-class power lifter, a lot of lifestyle changes from power lifters starts with injury.
Right.
Is that the case here?
Yeah, you know, I took a bad tumble with 1,085 on my back in a squat.
Oh,
good times.
And it changed my life forever because it was something where I was like, man, like, I know that the shit I'm doing is extreme, but that made me really realize, like, this is life or death situation sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What describe, I can't even imagine what happened. I mean,
there's video of it, too, if you look it up. But I fell with 1,085 on my back. I was doing a squat. At the time, my strength was through the roof. I squatted 1,100 pounds in training. Everything was going really well. I got ready for this powerlifting meet, and I wanted to gain a bunch of weight before the contest, which was a huge mistake. Anybody that's an athlete knows that you shouldn't make any big changes prior to competition. You shouldn't really make any changes. So I gained a bunch of weight going into competition, and my circulation was not great. I had my knee wraps cranked on and everything like that. And because of that, I didn't have a lot of feeling in my leg. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. You know what? Like, I'm here. I'm in the meet now. Like, I squatted 1,035 faster than you can get up off this couch. And I was like, all right, it's on. I feel good. Went on to do the next one. And that loss of feeling in my right leg made my knee shoot in. And it made the other knee shoot outward towards the rack.
Uh-oh.
And then I kind of fell forward. And then from there, I was fucked up for like 3 months.
With what?
After that, I never even went to the doctor. You know, no offense, but I don't like going to the fucking doctor.
Doctors don't like going to the doctor.
Yeah. I hate it. And so, I ended up going to a friend of mine. And he was like, you know what, man, you get an MRI, you're getting these, scans done.
Knee or back?
He's like, you already know your knee is fucked up. Yeah, what is it going to do? You know, and so it was mainly my knee that was jacked up, not my lower back, and my ankle was kind of jacked up. And so at that time, I was like, you know what? You're just fucking fat. I ballooned up to 330 pounds.
Wow.
in my effort to try to be the strongest person on the planet. I bench pressed over 854 pounds.
Nice.
Hit
this,
a lot of
the goals.
Was this
the strongman competition you were doing?
Powerlifting meets. You know, powerlifting
it's different
is,
than the – what's the one that the video – the
Yeah,
Netflix
World's
series.
Strongest yeah, Man is a whole other thing where they're picking up those big-ass
yeah,
stones
yeah.
and shit. I'm not 6'8", and I can't compete with those guys. Those guys are on another – those guys are on another planet. It's really cool to watch what they do. But powerlifting is squat, bench, deadlift, and that's what I was trying to be the best in the world at. And when I fell, I kind of realized, you know what? I pretty much did a lot of the things I want to do. I need to be more responsible. I have children. I have a wife. I need to try to back away from this. And then it was hard. It was really hard to get rid of those carbohydrates, and you don't realize how addicting they can be.
Well, was it addicting? Was the carb intake addicting, or was having these huge totals addicting? Because I would imagine
yeah,
that's
both.
That's yeah. got to – no, but really, really
You don't have that. We have it.
No, I do. I'm a human being. I like eating cake
yeah,
and pizza. But what I don't have, and what you don't have, Drew, is the self gratification of being top 1% of something.
Right, right.
No,
you
that,
know,
that
and that
me.
That had right. to be so yeah. exhilarating. Because look, I'll pull 500 pounds. I feel like I'm the king of the world.
Right.
I can imagine what it's like to win a competition and have that just that surge. You know.
No, you're 100% right. I was definitely addicted to a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to even realize that. But getting hurt in that way, and almost like not being able to come back, it was really really hard to come back. It took me over a year to be able to squat properly again, and then it was like I was squatting two plates and stuff like that. The process was difficult, and so that road being made that difficult for me, if it wasn't for that, I'd probably be doing the same thing, or I might have died of a heart attack. I don't
right.
know, because I just didn't know any better. I was just doing any and everything I could, anabolics and throwing that into the mix along with just unhealthy diet practices. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the smartest thing, but I was doing what I loved doing.
And being excellent in physical pursuits oftentimes is not healthy.
No.
You know, we've talked about it with different people on this podcast.
Competing's not healthy.
Whether it be endurance sports, whether it be powerlifting, weightlifting,
yeah.
MMA, incredibly difficult physical pursuits.
If you want to try to jump up on this couch, that's totally fine. You're probably not going to hurt yourself. But as soon as it turns into a competition
right.
between
yeah.
the three of us, that's when all three of us probably get fucked
yeah.
up.
It's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
How hard has it been to balance performance with, you know, getting thinner?
Yeah, the whole thing has been tough because, you know, right away, you know, via social media, you get that instant feedback. Sometimes it's positive and sometimes
right.
sometimes it's not, right? And so yeah, you know, being strong like that defined me. Luckily for me, as I mentioned earlier, I have kids, and so my children help put everything into perspective. Even having, you know, really, really great highs and really great lows over the years. When I did a 2,600 pound total, you know, I was at a really elite level. It felt really good, but then I went home and I had to take the garbage out, mm-hmm. and my kids were there. When my brother died tragically years ago from drugs and alcohol, as soon as I got the phone call from my dad, I mean, I locked myself in the bathroom for a couple minutes, fucking bawled it out. And then I was like, all right, you got to figure out how to compose myself. Got out of the bathroom. First person I saw was my daughter. And I'm like, I'm cool. You know, like shit happens. It sucks what happened to him. I can't take it back, but I still have these beautiful children. And so
right.
because of that, that's always helped give me good perspective on things where I can say, you know what, like a lot of that shit is foolish. Even when I was doing it, I kind of knew it was foolish, but I was probably almost too self-centered and too driven and too determined to get the job done.
What's the conditioning been like? Because, you know, you're a guy who probably got accustomed to doing three movements.
Yeah.
And now to introduce back in things like the assault bike and sprinting
yeah.
and all this, you know, I see you pushing sleds a lot.
It's been tough. It's been brutal.
Yeah.
And because of that, I started up what I call pizza for breakfast. Pizza for breakfast is me trying to trick everybody into thinking there's actually pizza at the gym, but there's not.
Oh.
We just work out at 7 a.m. and we work out really hard. So I deemed it pizza for breakfast. And every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we just get after it for about 2 hours with a lot of conditioning drills.
Well, talk to me about these conditioning drills, because I had a little experience this week where I thought, hey, I've been doing a lot more legs than I have maybe ever. And I thought, I got a little time, I'll take a run. Not a great idea.
Yeah.
It was not a great idea. And I ran what is my normal short run and was hobbling back by the end of it. So what's the right way to combine sort of on your feet conditioning, aerobic, whatever it might be,
as,
with the heavy lifting.
Well, as pointed out by our president, exercise can be very negative.
Yeah.
and he
lives by that.
Well, he sure does, right? But it sure can be. Like, there's stress that happens when you exercise. And so you have to kind of pick your poison, and you have to understand, like, man, if I haven't really run in a long time, maybe there's something else I should be doing that's a little bit different. I would advise, like, running a hill or running stairs, not sprinting, but just running, because it's going to make you run slower. Running in sand is going to force you to run slower. Just that impact on your body if you haven't
really
done it in a while.
It was the distance that got me.
Yeah.
It was just the anaerobic, I guess, component I was getting into that
yeah.
hadn't done it. I ran last weekend, you know, but a shorter distance. I ran a little longer time, but I've been doing still more legs.
You're right.
And it was just,
Well, I keep telling you.
It's hard to combine everything. Yeah. I think we take it for granted on how hard we're pushing ourselves.
Yeah, you know,
push ourselves to a ridiculous limit. You'll hit a heavy deadlift one day, and the next day you think your body's going to function totally normal, and you should be able to hit a bench press PR too. It doesn't work that way.
Is that why you found probably such success, at least psychologically, with the war on carbs and a lower carb diet? Because I found, and this is, you know, speculation, correct me if I'm wrong, but talking to your brother and then talking, you know, knowing the history of what happened with your other brother who passed away,
right.
People I found, as an addict myself, people who are prone to addiction, do really well with extreme ideas in dietary intake,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to I'm going to moderate my calories and have, you know, a good 30-40-30 breakdown.
Right.
It's much easier to go, fuck it, I'm not going to eat any carbs.
Right.
You know, has that been?
Wait,
kind
hold
of
a second. Slow down. Addicts are extreme. slow up.
But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that's what worked well for me.
Yeah.
Just having it be black and white.
I think generally in human behavior that's true. And as with everyone with addicts, they're just a little more of everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So well, it's almost like the daunting nature of the idea. Like, I'm going to take an entire macronutrient and cut it out of my diet. Like the daunting aspect of it is intriguing to an addict. You know, you get kind of a buzz out
from
it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think people need to be tougher. People just need to be stronger in their day to day life. Period.
Did you say it on the air here about you're being? What about being a pussy?
Say
it again. I want to make sure I know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Your back doesn't hurt because of deadlifts.
Oh, yeah,
your back
pussy,
hurts because you're a pussy.
How about the carbohydrates? Because also, you know, you can't cut carbs because you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think that you should try to make things.
I need a coach. Go. You're a pussy. You're a pussy.
I'm more than happy, Drew.
You need to try to make things – I think people need to try to make things more difficult for themselves within reason.
Cold showers every day?
But, yeah, I mean, even stuff like that. I mean, I think that through diet and through exercise or some sort of physical thing of some sort, I don't know any other way to get it.
Yeah.
It's not like you can get tougher business-wise. The only way you can get tougher business-wise is just to be in the act of business and practice it
more. I guess
more.
Academically you could, like, I'm going to learn how to solve the Schrodinger equation. You know, I mean, you can push yourself academically.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, but not normal
it's
people,
different.
Drew. People
it's
like you, maybe. Right. You know, intellectuals.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But you bring up a good point.
Does that release some of the same
It can.
Stuff?
Yeah, it can, right. If you really get into it. It takes a little more discipline from the sense because you're not doing anything. You know what I mean? You're sitting.
From an outsider's point of view, when I watch you, I do think, Drew, that you get some type of there's some type of similar buzz you get when you're like, I'm going to go home and listen to this iTunes U.
I combine it, though. I combine it with activity, and then I fully get the buzz.
That's
absolutely true.
I guess if you learn something, too, and you figured something out, then that would probably give you a
high. You get a little zing, a little
right,
reward,
like building something or something like that.
Our guest is Mark Bell, the man behind Super
What's
Training
up?
Gym and also the Slingshot.
We're going to have some video of us using the Slingshot
up
on doctor.com.
My question regarding being a pussy and pain and discomfort, because I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think whenever human beings seek comfort, you're in a bad way.
Right.
But
what do you mean?
Whenever you choose comfort over development, you know, I think that you're making a bad decision. Yeah. I mean, like the other day, let me give you the example. We were talking about how I went up to do stand-up after Whitney.
Whitney
Cummings just crushes. And I'm like, dude. What am I going to do? This is a woman who's at the top of her game. She produces Roseanne, the biggest show on TV.
You're like, I have nothing to say.
And I'm going to go up and do 10 minutes of bullshit. And every piece, every fiber of my body said, just leave. No one's going to care. It's not like making any money doing this. Just get out of here. But I would have been seeking the comfort of doing that. And instead, I went up there and I did fine.
Traveled.
Yeah. How do you measure what's pain that you should or discomfort that you should power through. And hey, maybe I'm about to get underneath 1,100 pounds and crush my entire body.
Let me refine that question even again. I was on what's Jason's last name? Susan, I was on the podcast last week. Jason
Momoa Shapiro.
Look it up on Ellis. My calendar. Nova. He trains special ops guys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he goes, look, cool. He goes, what part of the problem I have is these guys get so good at overcoming pain, they'll run till they die. Right. And I was like, there is that, right? I mean, you can upregulate your suppression of pain, or you can upregulate your experience of pain.
Right.
And there is sort of a sweet spot, probably on the high end of suppressing pain, right? You want to push through it.
You don't necessarily need tons of pain. But you do need to work on being a little tougher. And I think what ultimately happens is we're trying to build habits that will be ingrained into our system that ultimately will become our willpower. And if you just rely on only willpower, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
If you just rely on some speech that you heard or something that you heard was inspirational, you watch some YouTube videos that are motivating, they get you all fired up, you take some pre-workout and you go to the gym, a lot of times that's going to be like one day or 1 hour, and then all of a sudden you're going to come down from that and like reality will set in, and the next day you're going to give yourself more excuses on why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. But I think what we're really trying to do over a period of time is build a lot of habits. And so the habit to go in the gym and work hard, when it comes to conditioning, you're going to want to push yourself. You're not going to push yourself so hard that you can't recover from it.
Right.
Part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to be better. And so when we think about just being better on a daily basis, we can only get so much better per day. I always talk about just having your head down and having it be step by step. You've heard many people say this before. And in my gym, we push something called the tank. And the tank has these different levels on it. You put the tank on level 3 and you push into that son of a bitch and it doesn't want to move. And it looks like you have so far to go. But if you just keep pushing and keep pushing, your head is down, you just keep pushing and pushing, next thing you know, you're there.
Yeah,
and I feel like my lifting career has been that way. People say, oh man, you're great. Like, I want to take a picture with you. And I'm used to it now because it's happened over several years. But at first I was kind of like, huh? Like, what is this attention for? Because I had my head down. I was just plowing forward. So, I mean, you do need to be cautious. You don't want to push past. You don't need to, be so crazy about it. You don't need to be miserable either. You need to have a lot of fun while you're training. I mean, that's part of the reason why you get into it in the first place is for mental health reasons. And you want to just feel good. But really, ultimately, I think what we're trying to do is build some good, healthy habits so that we have that willpower to tap into at any time we need it.
Right.
Jason Stapleton was the guy's name. It was a podcast I was on. And the idea, though, of the getting accustomed to dealing with the insurmountable task is a really important skill, I think. I mean, you talk about grit. I mean, that's grit. Right.
It's like how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
That's right.
You talked about the mental health aspect. I mean, how much, if you could try and even measure it or expound on the level that you've benefited psychologically, emotionally from incredibly difficult training and pushing through and dieting even.
Yeah, I think, the weights have kind of always been there for me.
Yeah.
They don't care about the car that you drive. They don't care about the money that you have. They don't care about what chicks you've been with or whatever. They're just a stagnant thing, and you get the opportunity to try to lift more and more every single day. And so, that's my focus has always been, how do I figure out how to get better, whether it be trying to lift more weight, trying to do extra reps, trying to lean out more, trying to get bigger. It's always something. And for now, I have different goals. And so I can allow those different goals to define me. I can at least – maybe it's a little bit of bullshit I'm feeding myself, but it allows me to talk myself into doing something a little bit different for a while. It was the same conversations I've had with myself when I was getting up to 330 pounds. I would, convince myself that this was the right way to do things. Now I have the same conversations in coming back down. It's okay to let go of those weights. It's okay to not push 500 pounds for reps on a bench press.
Yeah.
It's okay to have lost some of that strength. It's okay. You're going after something else. Anytime you chase after one thing, something else is going to – there's going to be less of it.
Yeah, and it's hard, I think, sometimes – to even level with yourself, but I certainly see a lot of people that want to have it all. They want to gain.
Yeah.
They want to gain 20 pounds in their bench press and get leaner and get bigger all at the same time and run a quicker sprint, whatever it may be. Is that part of the, I guess, the burden of becoming a fitness celebrity,
right,
is that you're getting people nonstop trying to ask you to give them instructions on how to do the impossible.
Yeah, I think people do want to see me hit a big lift. You know, I've done seminars and stuff and talked about motivating things and things like that. But ultimately, your actions are truly what motivate people. Usually, it's not something that you say. Normally, it's something that you do. And you look at the people that dominate social media. Well, some of them are people who haven't done a whole lot, I guess you could say. But there are a lot of them that have done something. They lifted a heavy object, or they're in really good shape, and they captured a huge audience. So I think not having the ability to be as physical is a huge threat to what I'm trying to build and what I'm trying to do. Definitely is. But I'm an inventor. I've created products. I have 3 U.S. patents. And that is something I can hang my hat on. I'm not just another meathead.
Yeah,
I'm somebody that has I have had to fight through a lot of adversity and had to reinvent myself many times over. And I kind of look at the career of like Metallica or something. My favorite group is Metallica. You know, a lot of these bands and a lot of these guys have to reinvent themselves over the years. And even like when Metallica put out the Black Album forever ago, they received a lot of criticism for it. They received a lot of criticism that they had music videos and different things, because Metallica was against all that shit for a long time. You're going to have a lot of criticism. You're going to have a lot of flack. But in the end, it's going to be it's only going to be for a short period of time. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be just for a minute until you make that transition to the next thing. I'm sure you've dealt with it a ton of times.
Oh my God, yes. And strangely, I just was reading about the founder of Reddit this morning, whose favorite band was Metallica.
They wanted nothing to do with that. Right?
It's an easy choice. I mean, if you really think about it, like, people like to come up with all these lofty ideas. I was thinking about Super Bowl performers the other day. I was having this argument about how they pick terrible Super Bowl performers, and I said the last time they really picked someone that I thought was appropriate was Springsteen, and he nailed it. I said, how they don't pick Metallica, because even my mom, who hates metal and shit, she knows Enter Sandman, and you can hear it, and they're great performers, and they do the fireworks, and people who watch football, never mind.
I always thought they should be on there, too.
What was it like? I mean, I can't even imagine what it must have been like to think, I'm going to start a real high-level fitness facility, and I'm going to have my own gym, and I'm going to start it from nothing, and then end up having a free facility.
A free facility?
Yeah. Phil drew in on super training in your gym up north.
Yeah, super training gym is free. From the time I was a kid and started messing around in different gyms, trying to sneak in, trying to figure out how to pay my dues at the gym, I was like, the moment I get an opportunity one day, I'm going to have a free gym. And it took me a long time to be able to provide that. But part of the thing in powerlifting, a lot of people that powerlift, it's a hobby that takes a lot of time. And a lot of these guys and girls don't have a lot of dough. And so I was like, at some point, I want to be able to try to make this free. Now, my team was like terrified. They're like, you're going to make the gym fucking free? Like, what are you doing? There's going to be an influx of people coming through the door. There's going to be a shitload of people coming in. And I was like, don't worry about it. This sport's too hard. It won't end up being like that. And it turned out that I was right. Powerlifting is very difficult. It takes a long time to gain strength. People don't want the long story. They want the short one. They want the easier way out. They want the thing that they're gonna immediately feel good. You can't even get a feel for heavyweights. You have to practice for a long time until you get to a certain level. Then you can start to kind of lift those heavier weights and even get the same feeling as somebody else that's been powerlifting for a while. So it was something I wanted to do for a long time. And one of the guys in the gym used to be $125 a month, and I used to have to kind of chase after everybody, and I hated it because I was their coach and their friend, and now here I am chasing them down for money. And it never felt right, and I hated the fact that once somebody pays you for something, then you have to do shit for them. So that was another side of it. I was like, I don't want to fucking have to be here for these guys all the time. I don't want to have to be on their clock. I did a lot of personal training when I was younger and stuff too. And a friend of mine told me, he's like, the reason why you hate that is because you're working for other people. And I'm like, oh my God, you're fucking right. I never even thought about that. Right. And I wasn't. I thought I was an independent contractor, but I was still working for whoever paid me. And so I was like, if I just sever this, if I just get rid of this, I'll have bandwidth to do a lot of other shit with my life. And it was at that moment that I started creating the Slingshot and a lot of the other products around it. and was able to really monetize my business. And one of the guys in the gym said, dude, what are you doing making the gym free? Don't you kind of need the cash? Don't you need the dough and stuff like that? You're driving around in this shitbox car and everything. And I was like, yeah, I kind of need it, but I'm making the gym free so I can be rich. Yeah. And he was somebody that understood me for a long time, and he was like, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I know what you mean, and it's worked out to be the way it worked out.
What is it? Break that down for me, the idea that you were making the gym free so that you could be rich in turn.
Yeah, so the idea was, hey, look, the more that I fucking give, the more that I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love being able to give information. I love being able to share information with people. I know some people like say that it makes them feel good knowing other people are making progress, and obviously, like, those things make me feel good. But it makes me feel good to – it helps me learn and helps me be a better coach and helps me be a better person. When I can learn about your perspective, then I have to gain your trust to even have you moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. When it comes to diet and it comes to nutrition, this is why a lot of books will fail, because – the person may not be connected to whoever wrote the book. Obviously, if you follow what's in the book, it'll probably work. But you're not going to follow something blindly from somebody that you don't know. And so I like to have that personal connection with people. And the more I can teach people in person for free, and the more people I can reach, the better. Better it benefits me in a lot of ways.
Tell us about the slingshot and how it came about. And I mean, because to me it seems like science fiction, the idea that you would have an invention and then it becomes a real thing. I don't even know how you make that transition from like an idea in your mind to a real patented
and
product.
And patent application is no small process.
No, it's the worst.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it took like 4 years to get the patent for the slingshot. You know, when it comes to I've been a little bit of a savant when it comes to these things. I used to play around with knee wraps and all the different bench shirts and squat suits and all these different things that different companies made. So I was real obsessed with the material. I was real obsessed with how things felt, how things stretched, how things moved, how they worked and everything. And so I was training. I tore my pec. And I was like, fuck, man. You know, I was training so good. Everything was going perfect. And now I'm jacked up. Now I can't do the meet. Well, I still wanted to compete. I still wanted to hit the meet. And the biggest issue was that I fucking tore my pec. And so it took me a few weeks. I started thinking about it a little bit more. And I was training in my gym one day, and I was like, I had a t-shirt halfway over my body and not over my head yet. So it was on both arms, but not over my head yet. And I laid back on the bench, and I benched with this t-shirt that was wrapped up around my elbows. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, that took away the pain from my chest.
It also feels like it's displacing a little bit of the I've got a bad shoulder, and I feel like it's working it a little bit in a way that the rotator cuff's kind of working in a way that doesn't normally get worked in a pec press.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did not design it for all the different benefits that it has. It just turned out that way. I designed it to specifically
It definitely puts a limit on the depth of your...
You just got to try a push-up. You just got to go for it.
All right. Drew's going to...
No more being a pussy, Dr. Drew.
Say it again.
No more being a pussy, Dr. Drew. Let's go. Let's get some push-ups in this slingshot.
Quote of the century.
There you go.
Elbow's a little fucked up, too.
Yeah, there you go. Try a couple reps. Keep banging them out. There you go. Good. The lower down that you go, the more stretch you'll get from the slingshot. Dr. Drew's banging out push-ups all day. The glasses are still staying on.
It's really impressive. You know,
hair's perfect.
Mark, I don't know if you know this. Dr. Drew's 76 years old. I mean, so it's incredibly impressive.
Holy shit. I thought he was in his 80s.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, so I mean, you know, I hurt myself basically is how I invented the product. I started coming up with a bunch of different ideas. All of them were shitty. None of them really worked. And then I started talking to my wife about it. I talked to my dad about it. I talked to my brother about it. And over a period of time, I realized, like, hey, you know what? There's only one person that's going to be able to help you with this. And that was me.
Yeah.
I had to, like, literally just rely on whatever information I had. And I was like, you know what? I think if I made it out of, like, a wrist wrap or knee wrap type material, that it would work really well. And then from there, and I think this is something that everyone should try to do, anybody that's got an invention, use the resources that you have. We have so many resources around us that we don't think about. And, You know, it used to be, what, 7 degrees of separation,
yeah,
they used to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's, yeah, it's like a fucking message away on Instagram.
Do you have anything for anything over the head?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Otherwise, it would have like a cutout over your
dome.
Well,
I'm wondering
like
if
that.
There's something that,
yeah,
that could stretch behind,
you know,
your neck or something.
Some people have used it for overhead press work. And
well,
they,
that's
and
what I was thinking.
And they've liked it quite a bit, but I never
just
really
if,
tried
if
it for
could,
that.
If you could limit it to the forearm, I feel like if it would,
yeah,
it would sort
you
of
you might
work,
have to pull it. Yeah. You could try to pull it way up on the bicep, but then it might like get in your face or something like
or
that.
Or if it were, you know what? You know, I just invented it for you. Just make it longer. Just make a longer version, and then it will stretch behind your neck.
Oh, like behind your back?
Yeah, for a behind the back. You know, not with a behind the back bar, but let the thing slip behind your back.
Ah.
And then just keep it a much longer.
We'll have to try it out.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Just the same thing, but longer.
But maybe twice as long. Maybe a third again as long, like that. Mm. I feel like then it would nicely limit this kind of movement.
I got to keep trying new shit out all the time, so
our,
I'll give it a shot.
Our big idea, Drew and I, we have the best, I think, the best idea.
A clear toilet.
That's a great idea. I mean, it's like...
I think Mike's like, oh, yes, let's do that.
Oh, I love to see it. Or I want a camera at the bottom of my toilet that it gives a readout in front so I can just watch my shit coming out.
Did you hear the producer
That's a
moan?
Good idea, but what about a thing that takes a picture of you like you're on a ride? Like while you're taking
your
shit.
Oh, yeah, like,
Yeah, it gets that face and it sends it to all your friends right
that's
away.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, with like the poop could be like a smaller picture, picture in picture, giving you full, you know, full information.
And then some Disney characters around the outside.
I noticed I'd see all these Nicorette packages, empty Nicorette packages at Gold's Gym in Venice from all the like fitness
people are
models
using it for training
and
shit.
And not only for a training boost, but for fat loss because the appetite's a pressure.
You know what? I'm talking to a guy that the guy Caltech Group is working on this.
Drew and I want to make appetite suppressant / fat loss pill that the first on the supplement market that includes nicotine.
Yeah, I've heard that idea before.
It can't be done anymore.
Why?
There's something about the way these guys were telling me. I talked to them. They slipped something in through the FDA that allowed for them to put it in for an over-the-counter product that you can no longer use. Nicotine it's been reclassified or something.
Oh.
A friend of mine named John Kiefer.
Oh, Kiefer. He's a carb backloading guy.
Yeah, carb backloading, carb night guy. I have a magazine called Power Magazine, and he used to write for the magazine. And the last article that he wrote was about nicotine. Mm-hmm. And my wife's like, we can't run this.
Why not?
Because we were like, what is this? You know, using
nicotine's harmless.
I know. But
it has such a bad, almost a taboo.
I argue, wasn't it with you when I was arguing with
a bad
cardiologist
stigma
about it?
Yep, it was on the air at KBC.
It was so shocking to
me. It was a bad stigma. So my wife's like, we're not going to run it. And I was like, I think what he's saying is backed by science. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, let us see that article if you don't mind.
I own it. It's the Nicotine Declassified by John Kiefer.
What is carb backloading? What's that?
Carb backloading is a great idea. It's essentially a play, you know, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. It's essentially a play on a low-carb diet. You go a certain phase of carb depletion, complete carb depletion. Then you start to reintroduce carbs, but only at night, at your last meal of the day. Mm-hmm. And his belief is that by backloading your carbs, it better – you could stay in ketosis early in the day and get all the benefits while then supplementing glycogen later at night and getting the benefits
sense
of that. You know?
Just it's a prolonged fast after.
Right.
It was kind of along those lines, but what he was kind of pitching to everybody is that you could eat like cheesecake at night and stuff like that. And it was – for a lot of people, it was turning into people just kind of going hog wild eating all kinds of junk. But he's you know, he's got a lot of good principles. He's got carb night and carb backloading. And I think the carb backloading was also a little bit more from a performance perspective, which I tell everybody all the time is different. You know, if you're trying to perform at a really high level, if you're just trying to be in better shape, look better, be healthier, a ketogenic diet, in my opinion, is superior. You know, I know there's a lot of research that shows that, you know, a lot of other diets can work. But in my opinion, if we're going to be able to fight obesity, if we're going to be able to fight what's going on with a lot of our children, I think that it has to be done through at least some extreme reduction of carbohydrates. People are just eating way too many carbs.
I would agree with you. And I think especially if you're doing a lot of resistance training, that's what it optimizes. The benefits are optimized.
Yeah, I think
which all everyone should be doing resistance training. Everyone should be.
Yeah.
The thing that scares me the most is our kids, you know, watching what kids eat.
You know
kids
what's
are
interesting?
With so much fucking sugar.
Yeah, what's interesting is when I got on this diet, a couple weeks in, I started looking at some of the ads that are out there, you know, for the chocolate chip cookie slurry, whatever. I'm like, ugh, it looks actually like this, like disgusting. But I thought, oh my God, people are eating that crap all day.
And when you're on a ketogenic diet, and this is something that people won't believe, is that you lose a lot of those cravings, you know, and that happened for me.
All of them.
Yeah, happened for him.
Which is unheard of for me. You know me.
Yeah.
I can resist anything right now because I'm like, meh.
Drew was, at least, I don't want to say is, was like about like a drunk frat guy in that they'd bring in donuts or cake into the radio station. And I go, oh, well, that looks delicious, but that, you know, what are you going to do?
It's, right.
Drew's like, what? Why are they doing this to me? Oh, I can't. What am I?
Heroin addict.
And then 3 minutes later, I see him over there just putting in fork loads. And
he's just crushing
he can,
it.
Yeah, he can't do
not
it.
Not crushing it. Chipping.
No.
Chipping.
Chip away.
Chip
away.
Not crushing.
But, you know, talking to Drew on the phone yesterday, and he's saying he doesn't even have those.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have those cravings anymore. He doesn't even want to have ketogenic-friendly sweets. You know, right. I told him, like, get some heavy whipping cream.
Yeah.
Throw in some stevia.
I might do the heavy whipping cream because I miss my coffee. I miss stuff in my coffee. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
But I think the ketogenic diet, I think, you know, again, just your body's producing ketones. As you were mentioning earlier, it's like I don't think there's, like, magic going on. Like the ketones, somebody could probably argue, and you probably show some science that maybe you can eat more on a ketogenic diet, but it probably wouldn't be like some crazy amount more.
Right.
I don't know what the research would even show on something like that, or if they've tested a lot of that.
Well, eat more to what? And to achieve what? I mean, I just noticed it has pushed me more anabolic, muscular anabolic.
Right.
You know, it's still weight. It's still putting it into storage, you know, what I'm taking in.
Yeah.
But it's not going where it used to go.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just your body producing those ketones and running off of those ketones, the diet will help perpetuate itself, where other diets don't really tackle the main thing, which is we don't have any control over what we eat.
Right.
I feel like the fat, there's something interesting about the fat.
I think it's just so satiating that it helps
satiating,
you.
It's satiating, but I feel like I'm using them in novel ways compared to if I run a lot of carbs.
I'm pretty sure that if you eat just fat, it almost doesn't even like register as a meal in your body, like your insulin, your glucose.
Yeah.
I think they're completely unaffected.
But I feel like I'm using them for something, probably energy source and other things, but like there's been a
shift.
Have
you messed with testing your ketones at all or anything like
that? No, I'm not done any of that. I don't feel like I'm in – ketosis is something I associate with hunger. And so it's hard for me to imagine I'm in ketosis because I'm not hungry, which
is
weird.
You don't have to be hungry to be in ketosis.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, checking your ketones can help you just kind of know how like far in you are and whatever. But it doesn't really make any difference, I don't think.
Break down the war on carbs. Is it just simply that? Just stop eating them? Or is there more to it? I mean, have you found there to be other outside benefits? Is there little tips and tricks that you have for people? Without giving everything away.
Yeah, I'll give it all away. I don't care. In the mid-90s, you know, when I started to read more about ketogenic-style diets, first book I came across was Dan Duchesne's Body Opus.
I tried to get Drew to get – I got an old used copy.
Fucking amazing.
It's awesome.
Amazing. Unbelievable information. And when I started to learn about that stuff, that had a huge impact on me.
What stuff was that? What was in there?
That was my first introduction to that, hey, man, you're eating way too many carbs.
Yeah.
I was a kid at the time, and I was trying to get big for football, and I weighed like 240. I was like 16 years old.
Damn.
And
big boy.
Yeah, my oldest brother was like, dude, you're getting fat. And I was like, no, I'm jacked. He's like, no, you're getting fat. And I'm like, he's right. I am getting fat. And so I started to look into some diet stuff, and my brother was hooked up with a guy named Ron Fedko, who's a powerlifter, who was also touting a ketogenic diet. And we started kind of kicking some of that information around. We started messing with it. And next thing you know, we tried a ketogenic diet. You know, so for me, the war on carbs basically ended up being a ketogenic diet in a sense. But I traditionally will eat a little bit more protein. I don't count calories. I don't weigh my food. I don't pee on sticks. I don't check my blood for ketones. I've done some of those things just so I knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you have to do any of those things. The only thing that I weigh is myself. And I either eat more or eat less depending on how far that's moving and if it's moving in the right direction, the direction I want it to move in. But the War on Carbs book – the huge difference between that book and a lot of the other keto books, there's not a, it's not a massive difference. The main difference is you eat more protein. The other thing is that there's not a cheat meal in there, because I didn't want to write anything about, you know, just I think you allow that stuff to happen when it's supposed to happen. And you try to gain control. We're trying to gain control of our entire life. We're not trying to just gain control through this small window of nutrition. We're trying to gain control in your activities, trying to gain control in our actions. I'm guilty of all these different things that everyone's guilty of nowadays, where you're zooming in on girls' butts on Instagram and all these things. But I'm also married.
Yeah.
So it's like you start to kind of think about these things. You're like, man, I just keep falling in these fucking rabbit holes all day. Who the fuck am I? I'm preaching one thing and I end up doing another. And so I'm trying to be strong in as many aspects as I can without being a fucking monk or whatever, right? Without being so weird about it.
No, you're saying you're trying to walk the walk.
Yeah,
absolutely. Walk the walk, trying to live a certain kind of life. And that people find happiness leading a certain kind of life.
Right.
They do.
And it makes me
the
feel
reason
good.
With the reason that we've had those value sort of axioms for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Because that does help people. They do better that way. And nobody's perfect, but
nobody's
better.
Perfect. Right.
And so I usually just say, "Hey, you know, let the cheat meal just happen. You know, if you're getting together because it's somebody's birthday or something, and you really value that person, that's really a big deal to you. Then go ahead. You know, you've been 20 days on the diet, you lost 5 pounds, you lost 10 pounds. Fucking go ahead and enjoy yourself. And the whole time I've been on the diet, I lost over 100 pounds from the start, from my heaviest 330 pounds down to 230.
How long ago was that?
Well. That time span of that amount of weight.
How long have you been on it?
Was over. More recently, I lost 70 pounds, and that's been in about 8 months, 9 months.
You've been on for 8 months.
Something like that.
Hey, we have some questions. Can I ask you guys this?
Absolutely.
Sort of supplement questions. I don't know if there's much to say about these things, but it's from Dominic. Nitric oxide. He wants to know about nitric oxide. Is that something that people. NO2.
Yeah, you know, I think
it's a waste
people,
of money, but.
Yeah.
What are they doing? How are they taking it?
And usually in pre workout supplements,
yeah. Yeah, I think people are
they're actually taking nitric oxide?
No, it comes in powdered supplements, you know, like. It's not nitrous oxide. It's NO, it's what they package as NO2. It's
basically a derivative of like a B
arginine and things like to
yeah, but
to
NO2
increase.
that is a massive misconception of how the biology works.
Yes.
It's about the NO2 released from neurons that create the vascular changes. NO2 itself circulating, I don't know what the hell that does. Probably gets chewed up in 3 seconds.
Well, usually what happens is a lot of these products will have stuff that will almost give you like a rash or a skin burning sensation because they want you to feel it.
Yeah.
And so I think certain B vitamins do that. What's the one?
Niacin.
Niacin. So it'll have some stuff like that. I just think that people are looking at that, you know, that 1% or 2% of stuff that just doesn't really matter.
What about creatine?
No, I don't think supplements – I honestly don't think they make a big difference. The one thing I will say about supplements, if you take them and you feel like you're on a regimen because of them, then continue to take them.
Yeah.
You know, if you take your vitamins
inspires
in the morning,
you
have your protein shake and you got stuff set and it helps you stay on your diet, then I'd say fucking take them.
DHEA might have some effects.
Yeah.
And,
but,
you're
talking about like a certain segment of society and – again, what are those effects? Are you talking about effects like that are going to be so noticeable that it's really worth the money?
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe
to
someone like you, but not really to the average person.
Let me just say he wants apple cider vinegar, green coffee extract, white kidney bean extract, chromium.
Yeah.
All like that.
Stop it.
Yeah,
stop it.
Well, I'm a big believer in the apple cider vinegar, A, because it tastes great, and B, it does. It's got proven effects on your insulin sensitivity and stuff like that. But go to Whole Foods, buy some apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Like the idea that you have to buy pills or go to get a supplement for it. Go get some olive oil, get some apple cider vinegar, put it on your salad. You get, you know,
there
that's
you
my take. I don't know.
Okay. Some of this stuff is, you know, it's minor. You know, it's like somebody really super worried about getting a tan. You know, getting a tan makes kind of everybody look better, and it works. But just get in better shape. You know, don't worry about these other things. Don't worry about these external things with supplements and stuff like that. I think they could be implemented, and sometimes they can help bridge the gap because sometimes our diets are a little different. I had a Quest bar on the way here.
Yeah.
I'm normally not going to eat a lot of protein bars or do that kind of thing, but here and there. It's like you want a little break from the monotony. I make a product called Keto Pro, which is a ketogenic protein powder, and I just like the flavor of it. So yeah. Like it's not doing anything magical. It's not doing anything special. I'd probably have better results without it. But by taking it, it helps me to stay on my diet and helps me stay in my lane. So if you take something and you really like it, and you don't need to take advice from me on me telling you that what you already feel works for you doesn't work.
Right. Right. No, it's a
very
good point.
I'm not here to mess up your fucking sandcastle.
What is your take on because I know like your Keto Pro has whey protein isolate in it. Things like whey protein isolate and essential amino acids have been shown. Yeah. Some people like to get really geeky about it, and it might kick you out of ketosis because it's insulinogenic. What are your feelings on
that? Yeah, I never really worry about stuff like that. I really don't. I think what are we truly worried about? Again, we're worried about the word control. We're trying to gain control. And so if we're just trying to gain control, I don't think we can really fuck ourselves over with too many rules. When you think about you talked about keto snacks. I like Rule.me is a website that I like a lot. Rule.me has a lot of great information on tons of different keto snacks that you can get. You can make a keto cheesecake that tastes really good. You can make keto ice cream, keto burritos. I mean, the list goes on and on of those different keto pancakes. So rather than you sitting there being like, man, I'd love to demolish a stack of pancakes, why not, you know, if you're on a ketogenic diet, why not make that stack of pancakes and demolish them and continue on your diet? Stay on your diet. Stay on your plan. What was the other one? Oh, Fathead Pizza. You guys ever have Fathead Pizza?
No, what's that?
Fucking out of this world. It's there's two different ways of making it. Sometimes they do it with cauliflower, which sounds gross, but it actually works.
The cauliflower crust?
Yep.
Oh, they're awesome.
And other times they'll make it with almond flour.
Or there's now a broccoli, right? A broccoli crust?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes these things, you know, they kind of will mess up your stomach a little bit because the fiber content will be through the roof.
Super high, yeah.
But if you're craving that kind of stuff, it's kind of worth shitting your pants over.
I agree. I've said the same thing about certain pussy. You know what I'm saying?
We're shitting your pants.
It made you shit your pants?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're talking.
I've heard of throwing up, but
these are some really.
Back to cauliflower pizza. I have one downstairs if you guys want one.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
I do.
It looks so carby. I don't trust it.
I don't trust it.
Seriously. Carbs are hidden in everything. Yeah. If you're on this diet, that's the one thing you notice. It's like it's hidden everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you're really trying to
What's your cutoff point if you look at a label? Like if it says two or three, you're like, I'm out.
Out. Here. Out. Yeah. I'm looking for zero. But if it says one, I might go for it.
But I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Where can people find you? First off,
yep,
Mark Smelly Bell on Twitter and Instagram. I know that.
That's right.
The YouTube channel really is also—it's an incredible wealth of not only entertainment but information.
Super Training 06. There's tons of information there, and then obviously you can find me on my podcast, Mark Bell's Power Project, powerproject.live, if you want to check us out.
And if people want the slingshot, it's where do they go to?
MarkBellSlingshot.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, what do you say you show Dr. Drew how to deadlift and not be a bitch?
No, not deadlift. We're going to work with that slingshot.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the producer's got to know.
We'll show him all kinds of stuff.
All right.
What's that?
Well, I was going to mention that Hydrolyte has a new code. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Go ahead, please do.
So, you know, obviously go to drdrew.com, click on the banners, tell friends. But if you want to go straight to hydrolyte.com/drdrew, you can click on the code and put in Dr. Drew 18. Or is it Drew 18?
Last time you did it was Dr. Drew 18. So.
Okay. Well, the jury's out. Try both of them. You will get a discount.
30%. 30% discount.
Yeah, 30% off. And you can, you know, get.
Who's making these rules up?
Well, it also gives us credit for selling it because it is. We're going to give you some as a parting gift today because it's great stuff.
Everyone needs electrolytes.
There's a zero carb, zero sugar one. That's
very tasty.
Well, it is four times the electrolytes of a sports drink.
Awesome.
And it's what I would use if I needed to rehydrate somebody. Like I was looking for an IV, couldn't do it. I'd use this enterally.
And we're reading the emails that you sent in. And so if you want also a weekly email reminder with a link to the show, go to drdrew.com/contact. And also go to iTunes and give us 5 stars and say something nice about us because we really want Mike to be successful on this.
Shouldn't care about me.
This is Mike's show, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, but the big sell is that you have a real physician too. I mean, there's a million fitness podcasts. Mm. The idea of having a real physician who also is buff.
And you're producing it, and you're doing a great job, and we really appreciate you taking the time to do that, Mike, because I'm learning a lot.
We'd be nothing without our faithful real producer, Susan Pinsky. Everybody just take the time.
And Michelle
Poe. Put your hands together. Oh, and Michelle. Beautiful Michelle Poe.
But thanks for bringing Mark in.
Yeah, of course. Really Mark, dude, seriously. It was a real treat, man. Dude, thank you so
much.
He's
been talking about this for a long time. Yeah,
we're gonna go downstairs with Jane Preston Rogers.
Gotta get you guys
and
to Sacramento sometime. Check out Super Training.
See, once we get
check
like,
out the facility.
Once we get some big sponsor money
coming
through, Hydrolite needs to fly us to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Drew and I at Super Training, everyone. We can all agree.
Fantastic.
That's the video.
I want to mention our friends at Bergamot Sport, a supplement that provides all the cardiovascular benefits of the original Bergamot, but with additional additives designed to aid athletes and those with active lifestyles. Bergamot Sport is recommended and used by professional and college athletes throughout the world, helps them improve stamina, reduce recovery time, and muscle inflammation. Bergamot Sport is informed sport certified, so athletes can feel confident that it's all natural and it has been banned substance tested. But even if you're not a pro athlete or just getting a workout once a week or so, Bergamot Sport is still worth a try. It can help you work out harder, recover easier, without worrying about being sore or tired the next day. I've used the products myself. I've recommended them to patients. We use them in our family. And I've done so just as physicians and cardiologists around the world have done. And Bergamot Plus is excellent for what's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which has just passed all other forms of liver disease in terms of causing cirrhosis. So it's something that is a major health issue presently and needs to be paid attention to. For a limited time, our listeners can save 10% on their order by entering code DRDREW at checkout. That is DRDREW, all one word. Try Bergamot Sport for yourself. Visit bergamot.com, that is BERGAMET.com, or just click the Bergamot banner at drdrew.com.
Hey, everybody, it is the Swole Patrol Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Catherwood, and Dr. Drew is at Dr. Drew, of course. Join the email list today. Send your questions, drdrew.com/contact, and put Swole at the top of the email so we can get your comments. And this will get you a weekly email reminder with a link to this show and all the great shows that Dr. Drew and I do and all the shows that Dr. Drew does by himself and, of course, with Adam Carolla, the great Ace Man. Please tell a friend and subscribe on iTunes. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars. And on Podbean or Google Play, all 3 help us out. We also are on YouTube/Dr. Drew and hope you can give us all your comments, even if you're a troll and you want to destroy our feelings and our emotions. Support our sponsors and the show. Click on the banners on drdrew.com for the links to products. For special discounts for the products, Dr. Drew and I endorse 100%. Send questions and comments to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Swole Patrol Podcast, or on Twitter at Swole Patrol Pod. Also, browse drdrew.com for the This Life podcast that I co-host on occasion and all the other shows available, like Adam and Dr. Drew and the This Life podcast. A lot of great stuff. Don't forget to check me out on K-Rock in the mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show. And be good. Be swole. Hashtag Swole Patrol.